I'm the good guy, Lord, from Psalm 17 and some others. Betty, like many Christians, read the New Testament a lot. And when I visited her once, she told me about the difficulty she was having with some passages in the Old Testament. The cursing Psalms have always been a problem to Christians, whether new believers or mature ones. David saw the forgiveness as a God thing, not so much as a people thing. It was vertical rather than horizontal with him. The law of Moses was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It was Jesus who straightened the matter out. He said in Matthew 5, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to oppose an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn your other to him as well." Now, David seemed to have considered his own way and lifestyle as somewhat better than the behavior of many of his contemporaries. Like this psalm, Psalm 17, verse 1, he felt he came through with flying colors. And in Psalm 26, he states, "I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites." He is so sure of himself and his morality. Yet there comes a time when he realizes that he too is a failure, and not before time. In Psalm 40, he says, "My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me." David seemed to have it in for his enemies, their wives, and their children too. He might have reluctantly put vengeance in God's hands, but he sure was certain to remind the Lord about the problems he was having with people. Not that he always left it there. Can we take the theology of David in his Psalms and ignore him cursing his opponents? Yes, we can. His understanding of who God is and what he will and can do for us must not mean that we reject all the teaching of the Psalms because David sometimes railed against his foes. Like all of us, David was an incomplete person. He was an imperfect saint and has at times been painted in colours that are too glowing. David found great happiness in God. In Psalm 4, he could say, "You have put gladness in my heart, more than when there grain and wine abound." And in Psalm 18, he said, "It is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lights up my darkness." He had a mighty, strong emotional attachment to the Lord. When talking to the Lord, he could genuinely say, "I love the house in which your honor dwells and the place where your glory abides." When William Bullock opened one of the new churches that he pioneered in Nova Scotia, he wrote that lovely hymn, "We love the place, O God, wherein thine honor dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels." And he was quoting Psalm 26. David knew the presence of God in his life and when he was in a place of worship too. He was not just having goose pimples down his back, but a sense of holy awe that the majesty of God would come to him, even in all his weakness and need. He wanted all that loveliness to brush off onto him too. In Psalm 27, he said, "Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek." He didn't just expect God to come to him. He went after the Lord. It was the deep longing within his heart that he might come close to the Lord. But it is for you, O Lord, that I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. He says in Psalm 38. What testimonies he shared. He put a new song in David's heart. He was delivered from his enemies, from pits and from the mire. And God will deliver us too. Amen.